Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion! You are the man!
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our loyal supporters of our podcast. So keep listening for future really cool stuff.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's round 14 of a truly sensational season, and this is a very unique racing weekend. Whereas the Italian sun lit up Monza 2 weeks ago, here the job is done by 1,600 lights strung out above this challenging track as Formula One goes nocturnal. Run entirely on public roads, Marina Bay is pretty special to drive. Tight and twisty, it's important for drivers to hug the barriers but not get too close. A high downforce anti-clockwise circuit, there are no fewer than 23 corners demanding drivers total concentration. A lap is 5.073 kilometres in length and the race is 61 laps, a distance of 309.316 kilometres. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to Mark and Seb about their races here in Singapore. We catch up with Christian Horner. Plus, we speak to model slash racing driver Sebastian Buemi at a fashion event at the Amber Lounge. First, the heat and humidity in Singapore have a massive effect on this race. Katie spoke to team trainer Bernie Shrewsbury to find out more.
Bernie, we're actually inside now in aircon, so we're not experiencing the heat outside. But just tell us what it does to the body, the very high humidity that we have here in Singapore.
Well, the high humidity, basically, it just causes a massive fatigue on the body because, obviously, the temperature of the air and the air pressure, it creates massive profusely sweating. And also, that leads to, with this fluid loss within the body, which causes dehydration. So if drivers haven't sort of prepared themselves properly with hydration, and that doesn't mean sort of 2 days before drink as much water as you can, it's a process of really you should be getting ready for this. You probably should have done some climatization heat training for this to get used to it, because it will have a massive effect. It's a long race, it's a bumpy race, 23 corners, and you'll see probably the effects of that towards the latter part of the race with fatigue kicking in and mistakes happening.
Yeah, and is there any way that some drivers have to cope with it mentally as well?
If you've prepared yourself, it's like anything, preparation is the best remedy. If you're prepared for this and you've kept yourself, you've got yourself quite lean, I don't mean sort of just starve yourself for a few weeks, a few months before, it's about if you've kept yourself lean throughout the season, if you understand what goes on in this kind of weather, so if you're educated about the fatigue, the dehydration, the minerals and salts that are lost in the body, then those who have done that will have no problems at all. It'll just be a tough race. But those who haven't will have these effects and they'll wonder what's going on. And it's one of those things that you, as a driver, should be aware of.
And what can happen if you get dehydrated?
Well, dehydration, basically, the reaction, the brain slows down. So reactions slow down. And when you watch a race like this, you think, why the hell did he just spin? Or why did he make that stupid manoeuvre? That is what it is when it's exaggerated. It's just like, really, when you see people at the end of a marathon that are dehydrated and they can't even run in a straight line. It's that kind of effect.
Yeah. And then what about people that are working within the team, maybe in the garage?
At Red Bull Racing, we're taking it quite serious. And there's actually a programme in place now for the guys, all the guys in the pit crew, and even people like yourself in the marketing team. It's a very, very hard race, and it's not about now, it's how you recover for the next one, which is going to be Japan and Korea. So it's about the fatigue and effects and injuries, guys basically, and the girls basically getting run down and ill. So this is going to be a big test this season with all these elements that are going on.
Well, hopefully we'll make it through.
I'm sure you will. Keep fighting. And yeah, it is hard for everyone, but it's all simple things about, you know, live foods, lots of hydrated foods, eat fairly light, keep hydrated smartly, really.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's not all about the racing in Singapore. Sebastian Buemi attended an F1 event at the Amber Lounge. Laura spoke to him while he had a break from his modelling.
Okay, so Sebastian, we're here at the Amber Lounge fashion show where you're modelling this evening. Are these types of activities something you enjoy or more of an obligation?
It looked cool before I had to do it, and then when I was waiting for it to start, I started to feel a bit under pressure and like if it was a really obligation. But I mean, in the end, I really enjoyed it and it was funny.
Is it harder than driving a racing car?
I don't think it's harder, but I was under big pressure.
Okay. And Did you study any catwalk models before strutting your stuff here tonight?
No, but basically when I was really small, I even have a picture I can show you. I did it a few times in my little city in Switzerland, catwalk, but no, I felt really under pressure, you know, it was a long time ago.
And just turning back to Singapore then quickly, Singapore is an unusual circuit being a night race. How does driving in artificial light compare to driving in natural light?
I think it's quite a bit different. Even if the artificial light is very good, you still see a difference, and you've got to get used to it. And in the race, it's really tough. But still, I mean, I really enjoyed it last year when I drove here, and I think it's a great venue, and we should keep coming here.
And do drivers have any way of keeping cool once out on track, or does racing just take over and you get on with it?
You know, you just take racing takes over it, and you just go for it, and you give your maximum, and you concentrate on that, and that's it. Yeah.
And how well adapted do you think the RBA is to the Singapore circuit?
I think if you look at the qualifying, it's really good, because obviously Vettel did third, but I think he could have done even better. He was a bit disappointed, so we will have to wait and see tomorrow for the race. But I think all the possibilities are to win the race. Yeah.
Okay. We'll let you get back to Amber Lounge.
Thank you.
Onto the race now, and Sebastian Vettel cruised to victory in the Singapore Grand Prix. Hamilton led from the start, but a gearbox failure meant he had to retire, leaving our man to take the checkered flag. Jenson Button took second, with Ferrari's Fernando Alonso taking the third step on the podium. Seb's second victory of 2012 moves him up from fourth to second place in the Drivers' Championship, behind leader Fernando Alonso. Mark crossed the line in 10th position, but dropped to 11th after a 20-second penalty for an incident with Kobayashi. Here are Sebastian and Mark after the race.
We could have had a tight battle. I think Lewis and myself, we were probably a little bit quicker than the rest, and I felt very good, to be honest, on the harder tyres, and we had surprisingly a lot of pace straight away. It was a good confirmation after the start, even with the soft tyre, that the pace was there. I was able to follow Lewis. Towards the end of that stint, we had a bit of trouble. We couldn't go as long as Jensen, for example, so we had to pit early and get into traffic, which was a bit of a shame, but I was able to pass reasonably quickly the people and come back. And after that, it was a bit tactical until as I said, Lewis had the problem, but the pace was there. And also towards the end, it was nice to dictate the pace every time Jensen had a little bit of a go to have an answer. So we were able to pull away and secure the win.
Yeah, pretty fruitless, really. It was I think we were too bad pace wise. We weren't electric, but we were certainly giving Paul a hurry on in both stints. We tried a slightly different strategy, obviously, just missed him in the first attempt. And I think we're going okay. I think the strategy was alright, but the second safety car really hurt us. So that put us at the back of the queue, and around here, fighting and looking after your tyres, a bit of a mess. So, yeah, shame. We got some good points, obviously, set one for the team, so that's good. So looking forward to the next few now, just trying to break this little mini poor run 11.
For this race, we'd run a competition to design Mark's helmet. The winner got to attend the Grand Prix here in Singapore, plus have their design raced around the Marina Bay circuit. Laura spoke to winner Slatka to find out how she's feeling.
So Slatka, tell us what your winning experience has entailed so far.
First of all, I would have to say that this was really great qualifying session. And I've also seen the first session really on the track there. I have like a pit straight that I can see. And the second session I went to see in the hotel, and I have to say the view is really great. So far so good, didn't have any problems, and I've seen a lot.
Can you just talk us through the helmet that you designed for Mark, like where you drew your inspirations from and what went into it?
Well, usually my designs are really modern, so I do lots of sketching, and whatever I feel, any kind of shape, that will be it. So I've been researching, actually, Australia, then we have Mark Webber himself. Mm-hmm. I've done lots of research for Mark Webber, for example, like for his cartoon at the back.
Right.
And I think I had a little bit of Singapore in it, a little bit of Singapore feeling into it.
And we understand that you want to go to art school in the future. We'd imagine winning this prize is actually quite a boost ahead of that. Will you be adding this accomplishment to your CV or resume?
Yeah, I'll be adding this to my resume. And this is really a big boost in my career. I don't know, for my country, it's really something big.
Yeah. Final question then, where will you be storing the helmet when you take it home on Sunday night?
Well, my workplace is really, really messy, so I'll have to make some room and make a really great, I don't know, spot for it.
Be proud of place. Okay, thank you very much.
If you come to the Red Bull Racing Factory, you are now greeted by our lovely new receptionist, Natalie. She came along to experience her first Grand Prix here in Singapore. Laura spoke to her to find out how she's getting on.
So I'm joined by Natalie. Natalie, you've joined our team as the new receptionist recently, but now you're out here in Singapore. Can you just describe to our listeners how that came about?
Yes, very unexpectedly. Just strolling back into the factory after my lunch break when I was called upon and told I had 20 minutes if I wanted the chance to go to Singapore to pack my bags and get ready to go.
Wow, so what did you pack in 20 minutes?
Not a lot. I thought that it was going to be raining and it wasn't, so I haven't come very prepared. But I remember the most important thing, which was my bikini, because it is very hot here.
Okay, that's brilliant. Have you been to an F1 race before?
No, unfortunately I missed the opportunity to go for the British Grand Prix, so I'm really ecstatic that I'm here and this is a great opportunity.
Okay. And has it been what you expected so far?
Yes and no. It's spectacular as I thought it was going to be, but I didn't expect to get so much information from being here.
And if you had to describe your experience so far in three words, what would those three words be?
Very hot, glittery, and very loud.
Thank you very much.
Overall, a successful weekend for the team here in Singapore. To round up the action, Katie spoke to Christian Horner. Here's what he had to say after the race.
Okay, Christian, it's the end of the Singapore weekend. How do you find it with the time difference here, the fact that we're still on the UK time, but everything's at night?
Well, Katie, it's 2 o'clock in the morning here, and we've just finished our usual debriefs, which would be about 6 o'clock in the afternoon in Europe. So it's like working a night shift, but it's been tough for the guys all weekend. I mean, it's hot, it's humid, it's sticky, and they've really given it everything this weekend, and you know, it's all about teamwork, this sport, and I'm very proud of what the team's done today.
Yeah, we got the win. Did you think that was likely getting here this morning?
When I saw Sebastian before the race, I've never seen him so focused, and I had a really good feeling on the grid that, you know what, we can do this, and you know, he went out and did it. You know, unfortunately, it was unfortunate for Lewis retiring from the lead. We know how that feels, unfortunately, and you know, you don't wish that on anybody, but nonetheless, Sebastian was really quick. He was in the groove. He looked very comfortable on the harder of the two tyres, and we were in great shape.
And why did you send Ollie Shack up to the podium?
Well, Ollie is the front end mechanic on Seb's car. He has been since Seb joined the team. And Ollie had a bit of tragedy in Hungary when he lost his dad after a relatively short illness. And his dad was a big supporter of what Ollie did. And, you know, Ollie never faltered in his commitment to the team. So even though he lost his dad in the first couple of days of the Hungarian Grand Prix, he never once questioned leaving the event, and you know, got his head down and did it. And I think that kind of commitment to the team and company is, you know, is remarkable, and is a kind of teamwork that, you know, and spirit that we have within the team. So I thought it was right today to recognise that commitment of him putting the team before his family and his own feelings and emotions for his dad, and that it was right for him to go and collect the Constructors' Trophy. And I was informed by Danish TV that he's the first Dane ever to be on the podium. So it was a great moment for him, hopefully for his family, and yeah, we were all very proud of him.
And then just looking at Mark's race today, obviously he got the penalty and finished 11th in the end. What happened with his strategy today?
Well, Mark, we decided to go for a three-stopper because he was racing hard, and the two-stop was less likely to work for him. And the three-stopper was starting to work out okay, and then the pace car came out. Not an ideal time. We rolled the dice. We stayed out on the tyres that he was on at the time, and that put him into fifth place. And then at the immediate restart, Schumacher and Toro Rosso got together, causing another safety car, and then you're in that window where you have to pit, and that effectively, you know, wrecked Mark's strategy. He then drove well to recover from 15th or 16th back up to 10th, but then unfortunately he's been given a 20-second post-race penalty after being deemed to have left the circuit when racing Kobayashi.
Okay, and then what's next for you then, the next 24 hours?
Next 24 hours, I think, is get something to eat now, back to the hotel, and then it's a very early start for the airport. a little later this morning. In about probably 6 hours, I need to be at the airport, but hopefully we'll have a couple of beers and Red Bulls with the guys and girls that put in so much this weekend with Sebastian and Mark, and before heading to the airport.
That's it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. Remember, you can always get all the latest news, pictures and videos on the team website, redbullracing.com. From here, we head to Japan in 2 weeks' time for round 15 of the 2012 season. Until then, take care.